Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Scott Kirshner. The so-called king of taxis in Boston, Edward Tatungjian, was charged yesterday with tax evasion and other federal crimes. 3 years ago, the IRS raided his Boston cab headquarters next door to Fenway Park. It's the biggest cab company in Boston. And he's now being accused of payroll tax evasion, hiring illegal immigrants, and failing to pay overtime. That 2013 search by the IRS came on the heels of a Boston Globe Spotlight Team investigation that uncovered exploitation of drivers in the city's cab industry. For more on the charges, we spoke earlier today to Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia, who covers federal courts and law enforcement for the Metro Desk. We began by asking him about the charges.
Well, Mr. Tatungjian faces a range of really financial charges. You know, the Spotlight team here at the Globe wrote about Mr. Tatungjian 3 years ago about his treatment of some of the taxi drivers. It was really the treatment of the workers really kind of caught a lot of people's attention, but that's not what's here in this charging document. He's accused of skirting tax laws. He'd be paying workers overtime, but not at the rate of overtime that they deserved. And he also wouldn't be recording it, which, you know, allowed him to kind of skirt, you know, taxes that he'd be paying to the federal government. So he's agreed to pay more than $2 million in restitution to the federal government, but even more than that, he faces jail time. So this was a man who really his treatment of the taxi workers was really seen as kind of harsh treatment, I guess, really inhumane, just a bad person in many ways. But here he's facing direct kind of white-collar financial crimes.
And there are some allegations around federal housing, getting his employees to obtain federal housing subsidies that they weren't legally entitled to, and I think also hiring illegal immigrants, people who weren't legally allowed to work in the country.
Federal subsidies, those charges are a little curious. We know him hiring illegal immigrants allowed him to pay people under the table, as they say. That allowed him to kind of earn that money on the side, and that's the crime there. More curious is his support of some workers in their application for federal subsidies. These workers would go and apply for public housing, and the company would provide the W-2s that would understate what they were actually earning. And mm-hmm. There's a key question of why he would do that. We don't necessarily see the financial benefit to him, but was he doing it for these workers? Was he helping them out? Prosecutors call it a crime either way, but that charge is a little bit more curious.
The thing I remember from the Spotlight series that the Globe ran in 2013 was that it really described what was a cash business without a lot of record keeping. I mean, I recall that cab drivers would come in and rent a cab for the day with cash, and they wouldn't have a receipt, and sometimes they get overcharged. I mean, talk to that a little bit.
What they would do is they would rent. He owned more than 300 medallions that allowed him to operate a cab, and he would rent those out to taxi drivers for $100 a day. You know, they would have to recoup that in what they receive in fares, and they would kind of, anything more, they would be able to keep for themselves. But he would, you know, pressure them into buying gas from his shop. That's the only place they could buy gas, and so he would overcharge them for gas. You know, what we all got from the Spotlight report was that was horrible kind of treatment of these workers. But interestingly enough, the Supreme Judicial Court said these taxi workers are contractors, so they're not subjected to the same employee protection benefits that you and I would be perhaps mm-hmm. in the workplace. So
they're independent contractors.
As horrible as this would sound, the SJC said he could do it. Here on the side point, he's facing direct financial crimes for what he did on the side.
One of Tatungjian's lawyers, Andrew Good, has said that Tatungjian accepts full responsibility for his unlawful practices and that everything stopped, everything he's being accused of stopped in 2013, which I think was the year both that the Globe Spotlight series ran and also that the Internal Revenue Service raided his headquarters. So what happens from here?
He's pled out to an information, which means there's no indictment. There's no kind of due process that he's entitled to. He's agreed, his lawyers have negotiated an agreement with prosecutors where he's just going to walk in and plead guilty to charges, so we don't go through the process of an initial appearance and arraignment. He has agreed to pay this $2 million in restitution, and according to the plea agreement, he still faces prison time, and prosecutors are going to ask for about 2 years. I think at this point, all we need to see what happens is for the court to set a date for him to come into court at this point.
And how likely is it that he will face prison time, or what are going to be the factors there of whether he does go to prison or he doesn't?
I mean, that's a good question. So his charge under this plea agreement, and this is with him pleading guilty, with the charge, he under sentencing guidelines, he faces 24 months to 30 months in prison. And sentencing guidelines account for a person's history, the severity of the crime, the nature of the crime, the extent of the crime. $2 million is a lot of money, so that will factor in. So 24 to 30 months under sentencing guidelines, prosecutors have recommended the low end of that under the agreement. We expect Mr. Good to come in and represent Satunji and talk about his past. He is well-liked by a lot of taxi workers at the same time.
We should talk a little bit about what's been happening to the taxi business in Boston, because when the Globe Spotlight series ran in 2013, it said his business was worth about $250 million. Since then, the value of taxi medallions has been plummeting because we've had Uber and Lyft and other new services coming in and competing with taxi. So this just, what's your view? I mean, this just seems like it's an industry that's under tremendous pressure to figure out what its future is.
It is, and we saw the legislature just take some legislative action regarding the Uber industry and the Lyft industry. A lot of taxi drivers were kind of frustrated with this. They have to, for years, they've had to compete in this system where you can only operate a taxi if you have a medallion. And to do that, you go through a system of regulations, insurance regulations, and you pay these fees, and you even undergo background checks. And we saw Commissioner Evans want fingerprint checks as well for the Uber drivers. And these are all regulations that the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers have not been subjected to. So the taxi industry was, really annoyed because for years they had been going through this system, going through this process that a lot of people supported. Again, Commissioner Evans wants Boston Police Commissioner Evans wants fingerprint checks for a lot of these drivers, and to come in and have a new kind of side industry that hasn't been subjected to these same standards, I think that really kind of annoyed some of the taxi drivers, and I think we're seeing that industry kind of erode at this point and really just go away as people find it easier to not only drive an Uber but also take an Uber.
One last thing I want to ask you is, if Tutunjin, he has pled guilty, if he goes to prison, if he doesn't go to prison, is there any question about whether his taxi company is going to stay in business and whether Boston Cab is still going to be around?
That's a good question. I think how many more medallions does Mr. Tutunjin have? We know he was getting rid of some, he was getting rid of some at one point. But what's the value of this medallion?
But you haven't heard any suggestion that he would no longer be involved in operating his company, Boston Cab or EJT, or that it would change hands, or that its future might be in question because of these charges?
We haven't heard anything about Mr. Tutunjin and his business as far as selling the business or selling the medallions. That's a question we actually have out there to try and nail that down, see if he'll be, making the company smaller or operating it the same way. We don't know. That's a key question.
Milton Valencia covers federal courts and law enforcement for the Boston Globe's Metro Desk. For a link to his reporting on Edward Tutunjin, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Thanks for speaking with us, Milton.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to General Electric. As we heard yesterday on Radio Boston, the company unveiled its plans for a 12-story global headquarters along Fort Point Channel in the Seaport District. And last night, the Boston Civic Design Commission reviewed the plans for the 2.5-acre complex, much of which replaces a parking lot. You can see pictures of the proposed GE headquarters at our website, radioboston.org, and you can hear the full conversation we had yesterday with Ann Klee, GE's head of Boston Development and Operations. Here's just a piece of what Klee told us about the design.
This is not your mother's headquarters or your grandmother's headquarters. This is really intended to be a collaboration and innovation space. So the makerspace is a great example. We'll have advanced manufacturing that we can partner with a startup. So it's this idea of co-creation space, the Channel Club Cafe, the co-worker space. And then on the top two floors of the building, we want to create convening space where we can hold conferences, symposia. That was something that we saw really would add value in the Seaport.
That was Ann Klee from GE.